Honestly, my boy, don't you think it's rather unwise to continue this philanthropic enterprise? This inquirer that's costing you $1 million a year?
You're right, Mr. Thatcher. I did lose $1 million last year. I expect to lose $1 million this year. I expect to lose $1 million next year. You know, Mr. Thatcher, at the rate of $1 million a year, I'll have to close this place in 60 years.
Hello and welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Well, chaps, it's the start of a brand new season.
Get in.
Yes, we love this, don't we? This is our 11th season.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it's our 10th birthday on Sunday. What lies ahead is our 11th campaign. So for the next 10 months, plus whatever after for the Euros, we're going to be here every week delivering more content.
More hot takes.
More hot takes.
And free as well.
And free. For free as well. Yeah,
no ads.
I'm really glad when I put out the call today, I said, podcasters assemble. And I was just hoping that you'd flock back. I don't know if The Athletic had called you up or anything like that and offered you lots and lots of money to come and record a podcast for them.
Well, yeah. Well, Graham, I can assure you that if they did, I would have gone. Yeah. I think we all would have done, wouldn't we?
Yes. Well, yes. Well, as so many people have.
Interesting to see a couple of Socrates alumni signed up for The Athletic.
Yeah.
Jack and Michael.
Yes.
We remember when they were slips of boys.
They were. Bloggers. They actually were.
They were genuinely
they?
When they yes. were teenagers doing the football blogging. Now they've put it all on the line to go and work for this online website.
It'll be fine. Millennials, they don't have mortgages anyway, so...
No, exactly, and frankly, I'm sure The Athletic will work it out somehow. There's loads of companies out there that don't make profit and yet still continue to trade. So why should The Athletic be any different?
Yeah, well, it was one of the stories of the summer, really, for people who are content producers ourselves. Yeah,
for us, it's quite a big story.
In the general scheme of football, then, it wasn't really a story, was it, really?
Just, you know, the website launched.
Yes, website launched.
That's really it.
Yeah.
But the rest of us are going, oh my God. I was thinking about it because there's been some discussion on it on our football Slack channel about it. Anyone can join that, by the way. Graham will post a link. And it occurred to me, I thought, well, if this was like 10 years ago, if someone had released a newspaper, a daily sports newspaper, I would definitely have bought it without any kind of consideration. Yeah. I may not have continued buying it, but so really it's not that different to this. All they're doing is, however, they are asking you to commit to monthly payments. Mm-hmm. So it's a subscription model rather than anything else. You know, it's a tenner a month, which is money.
But you would have spent 50p a day on something like that, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have thought twice about spending 50p a day on a football rag.
Which is more than a tenner a month.
Absolutely. Although I suspect what might have happened is I might have become irritated by the reporting.
Yes.
And there were journalists and stopped buying it.
Yes.
I would have taken offence at a slight towards Crystal Palace and, you know, thrown up my arms in disgust and never read it again, but then quietly gone back to reading it a few days later, which is usually how it works with journalism. So, I mean, I say fair play to them. I hope it works out all right. Yeah, it is a bit of money, a tenner a month. Mm. I mean, that's more than Netflix.
It is more than Netflix.
That's one and a half. That's why it's not one and a half Netflix, but it's one and a bit Netflixes. And you get a lot of Netflix.
You do.
There is a lot of Netflix.
Yeah, and it's like got sound and colour and moving pictures and everything.
Yeah.
Whereas like The Athletic is just like words with no adverts on it.
And other people in your family can enjoy Netflix.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, whereas I don't imagine anyone in my family would enjoy The Athletic.
No.
In fact, I think I probably, for reasons I stated earlier, I might actually find myself not enjoying The Athletic, and I'd be paying for it. I don't know.
Now, Jan, you like going back to source for all your Sunderland news, don't you? You go back to the local newspapers from the northeast, and read a lot of their local journalists. Now, the promise of The Athletic is that the fact that they're going to have dedicated people for clubs like Sunderland.
All right, okay.
But is that going to make you buy it when it's there with a load of stuff that you're not interested in at all? Or are you still going to go back to the local newspapers from the North
East? Well, I can go to the local newspapers in the North East and get something that written by somebody who's probably very close to the club.
Yeah.
And I can get it for free. I just have to accept adverts and probably have to sign up or something like that. When I say sign up, I just mean hand over my email address. So I think unless it was something groundbreaking, I'd probably still be back at the Sun and Echo and just going through what their words really.
That's the challenge that they've got.
Yeah.
And I think the benefit of, say, you know, subscribing to something like this is that you do have the opportunity then to start reading stuff that's outside of your area. When I read a lot of Bundesliga stuff, I subscribe to Kicker and I subscribe to an English language Bundesliga newsletter. But that doesn't take me out of my zone.
Mm.
I don't really read that much about any other football leagues, and so, you know, it's nice maybe to have a kind of place which had like lots and lots of quality journalism telling me about other things that I wouldn't necessarily seek out myself. There's some value in that.
Mm.
Whether there's enough value to pay the subscription fee remains to be seen. Well, I say it remains to be seen. I don't believe that I will be doing it. If I got it as a gift subscription, that would be a lovely gift, and I would make sure I made good use of it. But
you can get World Soccer Magazine for 50 quid a year.
This is the other thing as well.
I get that, and it's that does all the things you said. It opens your eyes to all sorts of stuff that's happening
across
the world.
That's a fine magazine.
It is excellent, yeah.
Yeah, and in fact, if we were to recommend listeners to subscribe to any football content for money, then that would be it, I suspect.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
An example, listeners, of Terry's fickleness is the slight that World Soccer caused him to put down the magazine. Do you want to tell the listeners all about that?
I cancelled my subscription in a fit of pique because, and this is actually really poor on their part, but they misspelt Mario Götze's name.
Yeah.
On the front cover, being big letters, they spelt it correctly but without the umlauts, which is incorrect. If you're not going to use umlauts, then you add an E after the O.
Right.
I mean, it's the guy's name. I thought that's really, and I just and then I cancelled.
Okay. Well, let's not start the season with brusqueness. And
you are.
It's getting hot. Yeah,
you can always edit that part out if you feel
no.
The right tone. You know?
That's fine. We'll get this back on the rails. We'll actually start talking about football.
Shall we?
Yeah, because I don't know about you guys, but I totally checked out football for the last month. And which I know it perhaps isn't what listeners want to hear, especially if they're brand new to the podcast and they're thinking, well, hang on, this guy's just like not been looking at football for the last month.
Why am I listening to this?
Well, at least they now know what the podcast is likely to be. You know what to expect from now on, new listener.
Yes, hello, new listener, hello. By the way. Welcome. Welcome to your new favourite podcast. To be honest, though, I spent June in two countries watching two tournaments and having a fabulous time, but watched a hell of a lot of football and came back, was a bit tired and thought, actually, I can have a month off now, watch the Cricket World Cup, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, God, yes.
And
well, because we won about a million.
Because you won, yeah. Business back to usual today because we lost the opening test match to Australia.
Can't have it all.
Yeah, so I thought, well, what have I missed? And I said, well, come on, I haven't missed anything this summer. Is it? Nothing's gone on. All right, we haven't had a big, fabulous men's tournament. We had a great World Cup for the women, which was brilliant.
It was.
Mm-hmm. And we had a great time in France, didn't we?
We had a great time in France. Three games in 3 days in the middle of a heat wave.
Yeah, we did say that we might produce a podcast about that, but it was too damn hot.
It was literally too hot to speak.
Yeah.
It really was. There was no way we were going to do it. It was exhausting.
It was exhausting.
Just simply existing was exhausting.
Yes. And because UEFA were charging €4 for a bottle of water, having taken water away from people as they were going
in. Yeah, they were taking water away from people.
In 40 degrees. It was just...
And then selling them for €4.
That is criminal.
It is literally criminal.
Yeah, a woman passed out in front of us.
Yes.
On the seats in front of us.
Yes.
Yeah, that was mad,
Yeah, shame on you, FIFA, for that. That was messed up, fucked up.
Yes, it was indeed.
So you checked out for a good month or so.
Yeah, I didn't even bother watching any of Arsenal's pre-season friendlies.
Well, Yeah. Do you think that if you'd been hungry for the football, you would have still watched those games?
Hopefully not.
No.
I really don't feel like I missed anything, having avoided watching Arsenal lose to Lyon at home. Maybe I would have picked something up about the new players we've got there, but I can probably wait until the season starts.
Mm.
Of course, Jan, your season has already started, hasn't it?
It did start.
A lot of positivity this season, yeah? Sunderland?
Well, apparently we're going for 100 points this season.
100 points.
That's what has been said by the owners. I don't know whether Jack Ross is pointing to that.
No pressure, then.
100 points.
100 points.
Which and is, how many do they get on Saturday?
One.
Right, well, there you go.
99 to go.
So
there you go. Every journey starts with a single step, Terry, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it does.
So apparently so.
The journey of 100 points starts with a single point. I think that's what Mao said, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah. We're underway. A bit of a disappointing result. I think the expectation was that we would batter them. And I think anything but that happened. And we had a big turnover of players as well. We had about five or six players leave, including the end of an era, because Lee Cattermole was released.
Cat's gone.
It was a bit sad, because not in that he won't be playing for us anymore, because, you know, he's had his time, but it just feels like a bit of an end of an era. Because we saw all of the seasons we had battling. He was right in his element there, wasn't he? And then we brought in a whole load of new guys trying to shore up the defence, which remained unshored up at the weekend. So, but it's early days. You've got almost half a new team in. It takes time to settle them in, doesn't it? So, point will do.
Another 1-1 draw, though, considering how many there were last season.
It's Jack Ross's favourite scoreline, I think, and it's certainly not the fans' favourite, I'll tell you that. But, it had to be the first game, and we get another... But we didn't... We weren't in front for this one. So, I mean, last season, that was the issue, wasn't it? We'd go 1-0 up, and you'd expect us to build on it, or at least try and defend it, and we did it neither. It's a bit of a shame that was the first result, but, you know.
Now, the Premier League and the Championship transfer window closes on Thursday. Now, the League One goes on, that ties up with the European transfer window, so that doesn't close until 2nd of September. More people coming in and going?
I don't think so. I mean, there's a possibility, but I think that the budget isn't as extensive as it was last season. But we have offloaded quite a lot of high earners. There may be some money in the bank. Yeah. I mean, we brought in players for no money in some cases. There's every chance of it, but I don't think it's going to be anything eye-watering.
Right, because you'll have played half a dozen games by the time the transfer window closes. Mm. So I suppose if there is a slight bit of whiff of panic about the first three or four games, you could always go in and pay over the odds for someone as well.
There's a chance of injuries with players coming back after having a summer off. And that could inform the decision.
Very quiet summer in the transfers for Palace, wasn't it?
Yeah, apart from Wolf Zaha, who isn't going anywhere. But who hasn't left yet, I should say.
And, of course, Wan-Bissaka's gone to United.
Wan-Bissaka has gone to United. That was the early... At least that happened at early doors, so that we knew that. And that
softened the pain a bit.
That just seemed to be, because he's so good.
Yes.
And he's a fullback. And really, really good fullbacks are really hard to come by. So, he was never going to stay at Palace for very long. Because of what he offers. It's disappointing that he's gone to United, but I suppose it's actually a smart move from their point of view, because if you are going to rebuild a squad, then you've got to make them young and you've got to make them decent. I do wish him well, because he's come from nowhere, from New Addington. We obviously don't expect listeners to know what New Addington is like, but it's a difficult place. It's an emotional place, and it's hard for a youngster to do well. It's hard for anyone to do well in a place like that, and he's done it. So it's a great story. And Zaha may go, he may not go. It depends whether or not clubs are willing to pay the money for him to go. But as for incomings, I don't know. I've got a feeling that we're not bringing anybody in. We got humped 4-0 by Hertha in a pre-season friendly on Saturday. That and the lack of transfer activity and the fact that we might lose Zaha, I think, means that we're in for another difficult season, unfortunately.
Arsenal obviously spent big on Nicolas Pepe, which seems like a very interesting signing.
Yes. Not seen him myself.
No.
I hear lovely things about him.
Yeah, I saw him a couple of times last season, and he looks very impressive. We picked him up in the weekend box set a couple of times too. What interests me is he's going to see how he plays that, whether or not he's going to play all three of them up front. I doubt that whether he will, and so he's just going to...
Oh, I'd hope so.
But I want him to.
You want him to, yeah. I'd like to see that. Aubameyang, Pepe and Lacazette.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's see that.
Let's see that. Let's let's beat everyone 6-4. that is something. I'm going to be interested to see, because we've got Dani Ceballos from Madrid.
Yes.
On loan. He's 22 and he's not been having a great time at Madrid.
No. But then who has?
But then who has? Yeah. Yes. So I'm going to be really interested to see how he does, because I think he's someone who's probably got low confidence at the moment. As far as loan signings are concerned, I think he's going to be a hell of a lot better than Denis Suarez when we got him, because he was just basically cropped, no good to anybody. But I'm hopeful that Emery can basically get his head right and get him into a position where he can develop. They only bought him a couple of seasons ago, and obviously haven't utilised him that greatly since he left Betis, but...
He's definitely a talent, warranted his move to Real Madrid. But yeah, things are political there.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work out for you, then I think that is potentially a superb signing for Arsenal. But again, it all depends upon the players, how he adapts and copes and manages. I mean, if he's undamaged by his experience at Real Madrid, then that's a great signing. If he is, then not so much.
Not so much. Yeah. Well, he's given him the number 8 shirt, Aaron Ramsey's shirt, so maybe he's thinking of...
Confidence.
Yeah.
Making the confidence. Oh, they'll have done their due diligence on him. They'll have done their best to find out what kind of state of mind he's in. Is he up for the challenge?
Mm.
Or would he rather stay in Madrid and take his money? So,
And of course, the big story of Madrid, of Real Madrid, anyway, in the summer has been Gareth Bale and what the hell is happening to him. This is a player who was bought for something ridiculous a few years ago and now just seems to be surplus to requirements. This is a guy who scored one of the greatest goals in a Champions League final. Just
one of the greatest goals ever.
14 months ago?
I know. It's a shame, because, I mean, there's clearly something, if you believe what you read in the press, there's clearly something between him and Zidane that is not quite right. It wasn't right when Zidane was there. He disappeared. It seemed like he was all right again. Then Zidane came back. But, I mean, we were talking about this the other day when we Terry. There's every chance that Bale's just thinking, well, if I just sit this out, I know I'll still be here at Christmas time.
Yeah.
But he may well not be. I mean, he must love it out there, playing with the best players in the world. Why wouldn't he want to stay around? And the fact that the manager is probably going to have a tough time with a new squad and everybody around him just spending crazy amounts of money.
Yeah.
It's going to be really tough for Real this season. I think I hope Bale stays around in the top leagues, because he's a fine, fine player. And I think if he went to a footballing backwater like China, I think that would have been a real waste of his talents.
You look at that side and you think, you've brought in Hazard. Bale and Hazard together on the pitch. I mean, you know, that's mouth-watering, isn't it?
You wouldn't want to face that, would you?
No,
that would be awful.
Yeah. Like, what do you do? What do you do?
You just watch them run past you, I think. Yeah, it's exactly. What would happen?
There's obviously some kind of struggles going on there with Zidane and his squad and his getting his favourites in. But I think that your interpretation is probably right, Jan. I think that Bale feels that he just has to sit it out.
Mm.
He was very close to going to China. Yeah. It was reported that he was extremely close to going to China, and that it was scuppered by Florentino Perez at the 11th hour, because Real Madrid were not due a transfer fee from the deal. All the money that this Chinese club was spending on Gareth Bale's wages, said to be something in the region of €1 million a week.
Wow.
And that's obviously made things even worse. Can you imagine what it must be like? I don't care how rich or how professional footballer you are. If you're told, right, you're moving to China next week. You live in Spain and you're moving to China next week. You're like, okay, swallow something hard and jagged. I mean, it would scare me blue, the thought of having to relocate to China. At all, let alone, you know, next week. And then so he has to then deal with that. And then to be told, actually, you're staying here. When you've probably got it in your mind that you're thinking, right, okay, this is going to be a big challenge for me. It's probably very scary, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to do it. Oh, no, it's not happening. You're staying here. I don't know what that does to a player, and I would imagine that even the most professional footballer would struggle to be, you know, to really be able to focus on their job under those circumstances. So they're messing him about as well. Maybe he deserves it, I don't know. But I mean, you know, it's, I don't think it's helpful, and everything seems to point to the fact that he seems like to be a decent pro who works hard and has delivered a great deal for that club. And you'd think that he was due a little bit more from them, but he obviously hasn't kind of been given that kind of legendary status. They obviously don't, for the relationship clearly isn't that strong between the club and the player.
But it seems to me it's more the manager and the player, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
because he's been saying some things that are just really unprofessional, stuff that you would keep behind closed doors, you know?
It strikes me a little bit very similar to the situation at Real Madrid with Capello and Beckham. In that last 6 months that Beckham was there, and as soon as he said, "Oh, I'm going to see out my contract," and Capello said, "Right, you're not in the squad now, and that's it. You're benched now for the rest of the season. Like, I don't want you here anymore."
Yeah,
and then brought him back in the side, and he turned the team around.
He did, and apparently there was a confrontation in the dressing room between Beckham and Capello, in which Beckham made his view clear, and you know, which must have taken some doing because Capello is a formidable personality. Yes. To put you into testimony to Beckham's professionalism as well at the time, so he was able to force his way back in there. And the fact that he wanted to, because in fact, he could have thought, all right, well, I'll just potter around in the reserves until I move to LA and, you know, start from there. But he didn't want to do that. And that's also a good thing. But yeah, it does remind me, you're quite right to point that out.
Now, of course, Real have been involved in some big moves this summer, or not, but one player they missed out on went to their local rivals, Atleti. Now, last season, well, we barely went a podcast without mentioning the name João Félix.
I remember talking about him incessantly.
Yeah, we were. We were going every week. Oh, where's João Félix
going? Where is João Félix going next?
Yeah, where is he going to go? Yeah, he can't stay at Benfica.
Stop talking about
it. I know.
Jan, shut up about João Félix.
Yeah, it was Usman Dembele all day.
Don't mention that name. If we started calling him Jan Félix.
And now he's the fourth most expensive player in the world.
113 of your Earth pounds.
That's a lot of money for a player that had one good season.
One season.
A bit like the aforementioned unmentionable name.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit like that.
Yeah, and this is in the Portuguese league. Now, you know, he's a great player. He's got a fabulous showreel on YouTube.
He really does.
I didn't just like frantically watch.
No, because we were talking about him incessantly.
Incessantly, all through last year. Yeah. Don't bother listening back to the listeners because there's a load of old stuff that you don't listen to at all. What do you think of João Félix?
Well, he's a cracking player. Hot take 5. Here we go. Right. Yes, João Félix. Yeah, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, what I know about João Félix is that I know that he's stupidly highly rated.
Yeah.
But I also know he plays in the Portuguese league, which I don't have on my telly, so I've never really seen him play. So obviously, he's not a striker, but they've let Griezmann go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's freed up some cash. I mean, and Griezmann's gone for 108 million.
Yes, which is less than what...
Which is actually less. Yeah. I know. That's weird, isn't it? That's the transfer market for you in a nutshell, isn't it, really? Griezmann to Barcelona thing was always a bit of a done deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there'd been competition for Griezmann, then actually maybe they might have got considerably more than 108 million for him. But because it was really only one destination, that's what they've done. So then they've gone out and spent it. You know, not just that, because they've lost a few other players
But on
João Félix, the fact that they've snatched him away from, say, Real Madrid, who wanted him, you know, says a lot about the way Real are at the moment.
Well,
not a lot of leadership going on there, maybe.
Well,
maybe not a lot of money going on.
The story behind it is that his agent is Jorge Mendes, who is Ronaldo's agent.
Okay.
And apparently the story is that Perez is still really, really, really angry at Jorge Mendes about Ronaldo leaving them in the lurch. And so apparently he doesn't want another one who's going to do exactly the same thing to him, supposedly.
Well, I think
so. That's a bit of nose snipping there, I think.
Yeah. We might want to do some growing up.
Yeah.
Right, you know, Perez.
That's probably why he thinks, well, right, I'm going to hold on to Bale then.
Yeah.
See what I care. Yeah. And he's got Godin going, Rodri off to Man City.
Yep.
It's all changer at Atleti.
And Hernandez to Bayern Munich as well.
The three big clubs in Spain have spent an awful lot of money this summer. But I think the most surprising is Atletico spending as much as the other two. But then again, if you look at the where they finished the league last season, second place, there's 10 or 11 points adrift, but still, that's only 10 or 11 points away from one of the best teams in the world.
Yeah.
So if they invest a little bit, they could maybe close that gap, because they were, I mean, they were, the Real were beaten, although they rallied towards the end of the season, didn't they? But I think this could be them trying to actually kick the door in and try and do something with this season. So it might actually be a bit of an interesting race in Spain.
Yeah, they obviously lost Griezmann, but they also lost Hernandez to Bayern Munich, their centre-back, which is a big loss for them. I mean, and as we know, Rodri as well. And Juanfran has gone as well, which, I mean, I know he was at a stage where they were thinking, well, he's going to have to go at somewhat like Godin.
Yeah.
But, I mean, these are still big players in that team, in that dressing
room. And they've been there so long as well. So yeah. They are that team, aren't they, really?
I mean, yeah, exactly. So they have had to spend pretty big. I mean, I think from an English point of view, we're all really looking forward to seeing what they make of Kieran Trippier.
Yeah. Mm.
I think if that move works out, then Trippier will be back in the England side by the end, by the Euros, and a much better player.
Yeah.
Either that or will be like reduced to a smear, and will be back playing in the Championship in 2 years' time. Mm. Because, I mean, the club would have broken him, because they work him very hard there.
Yeah.
It's very intense. And if he comes through it, then, I mean, one is one of the best set-piece takers, and you know, they obviously Atletico rely heavily on their set-pieces. So it's a great signing for them in principle, but I think they've got some work to do with him. Mm. If they do that, then that could be a really, really good signing, and great for us Englanders, because, you know, I mean, we were superb in the 2018 World Cup, and if he was to be improved, then we should be very, very excited about that. And it's exciting to see English players playing in foreign leagues. It just is. It just is.
Yeah, I mean, Atleti's season is going to be very, very fascinating to keep track of, I think. It could go horribly, horribly wrong for them. Or we could see a completely different Atleti to the one we've been used to.
No.
Simeone's still going to run that side exactly the way he will.
No, absolutely. I think Simeone. But I mean, it's interesting because there's been a residue of criticism about Simeone and his tactics, and about how they feel that Atleti have not moved on tactically, and a bit of frustration there. So if it doesn't work out for him, then maybe we could see Simeone leaving at the end of the season as well, moving on. This is his chance to refresh the squad. Mm. He's doing it. And if he doesn't make it work, and I think by work, I think when you're finishing top three and knockout stages of Champions League constitutes success for Atleti.
Mm.
There may be some disappointment, depending on just how much Real Madrid implode. And Barca are good, but they're trundling along. I mean, they're there to be taken. They're a bit like Bayern in Germany. They are likely to win, but they're definitely there to be taken.
The thought is that Griezmann's going to give some rejuvenation some, not all, but he's going to be something.
Scoring goals is never their problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. So, well, we've spoken about Hernandez going to Bayern.
Yeah.
That's an upgrade to Hummels going to get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, Kovac doesn't get on very well with Mats Hummels, and Dortmund wanted another striker, another centre-half. And so a deal was done for €30 million for Hummels to come back. It's gone down a little bit, mixed reaction with some Dortmund fans because of the circumstances in which Hummels left, but by and by, they'll forget about that, I should think. So yes, I would say it's probably is something of an upgrade for Bayern. Hummels is 30. But yeah, I mean, it's the only significant signing that Bayern have made so far this season. They're waiting on Leroy Sané, who may well be joining them, but it's cutting things a little bit fine now, and it still hasn't happened. So, I mean, I'm not quite sure what's going on there. Well, I think I suspect is that Bayern are pathologically averse to spending huge sums of money on players, even though they can afford it.
Yeah.
And I think that's where the problem is.
Yeah, losing Robben and Ribery.
Yes.
In the same
huge blow, isn't it?
I mean, last season, Gnabry and Coman did an awful lot of really, really good work and thoroughly deserved their Bundesliga winners medals. You know, Robin and Ribery were certainly Ribery, but to an extent, Robin were more and more on the fringe.
Mm-hmm.
But they did make telling contributions to the season. It would be incorrect to say that. So losing them will be a blow. But if they get Sané in, and then with Coman and Gnabry improving another season, then I would suggest that would put them in a good position.
Yeah.
The only cautionary tale I'd strike is that Bayern have 21 squad players right now, 22 if Sané arrives, which is not many.
Mm.
And they don't really have anybody who could sort of stand in for Lewandowski. And if Lewandowski gets injured for any prolonged period of time, then I think Bayern could find themselves, for a team that's expected to, at the very least, win the league and go very deep in the Cup and moderately deep in the Champions League. That's a pretty thin squad with key areas where if they lose a player, they lose Thiago Alcantara, which could totally happen because he is injury prone, then that'll be a big hole in their defeat in their midfield. They lose Lewandowski for a handful of games.
Yeah.
Then they won't really be able to replace him, and you know that guy just creates goals from just giving the ball, and he'll find a way of putting it into the back of the net. So it's an interesting season for Bayern in the Bundesliga coming up.
Yeah, and of course, as we mentioned earlier, the transfer window is open in Europe for a couple of weeks longer than it is over here in England. So could still be more to-ing and fro-ing.
Certainly, yeah.
In Spain and in Germany,
yeah,
and
absolutely.
In Italy
for all we care.
Actually, no, I think Godin's going to be great.
Godin to Inter will be great, and Lukaku to Inter if that happens.
Yeah, if that
would
happens,
be great
yeah.
as well if yeah. that happens. But I don't know whether or not that's actually happening. But I know they keep talking. It was a big thing last week on Sky Sports News. I got into the odd habit of watching that really weird transfer program on Sky Sports News at 7 o'clock.
Ah.
I think I just got into the habit for a few days of just plonking my ass down on the sofa when I got home from work, putting on the telly, default to Sky Sports News because I'm just such a sucker. And then there's this weird, those guys are, it's all a bit strange. They're trying to make it like Round the Horn or something like that, but it's just really low rent and just like not even slow, even remotely slick enough for them to get away with doing it. And they're not, bluntly, they're not talented enough as well as broadcasters, which is a really unkind thing to say, but there it is. But it's also mixed with sort of like, you know, Sky Sports News understands that this thing won't happen, and Zaha was on it, and the Lukaku thing was coming up quite a lot with them,
right?
But in a kind of way, saying you've got an hour's airtime to fill, and you've got nothing,
which I think really is a whole way of describing the whole of the transfer gossip that has happened over this summer, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, we said it before. It's just part of the soap opera surrounding football, isn't it?
Yeah.
And people love it. Which is, you know.
Well, people do love a bit of bounce. Obviously, one of the big bounce stories of the summer was Paddy Power's sponsorship of Huddersfield.
Oh, they're just the banter kings, aren't they?
Yeah, I must admit, it's something that probably slipped under a lot of people's radars, unless you're in the same social media bubble that we are.
It was a very obvious hoax.
Because it's Paddy Power.
And you thought, there's no way that is going to be there. Like, this is clearly a publicity stunt. You know, Paddy Power walking back for Christmas once again.
Yes.
And so it proved to be.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
When I saw it, I thought, doesn't look that bad, actually.
Well, this is interesting.
You love a sash.
I do like a sash.
It's a sash. I didn't think it was, you know, I mean, no. But, I mean, it's because there is the, I don't know where, they must have been doing a fairly, a lot of focus grouping.
Yeah.
Paddy Power, and they must have picked it up that there are people who just feel that football shirts should be without sponsorship logos. But we've had those since the 1980s. They're very much part of it. I've never objected to a sponsorship logo.
City had a shirt without sponsors for the charity shirt.
What do you suppose that was all about?
Just them being, you know.
Do you think it was just them saying, you know, we're actually nice people, look at us?
Yeah, I think we're not evil at all.
We're not evil, look, we don't put our corporate. Or is it? Or could it be they're saying, you know, maybe actually, you know, it could be that they're under increasing pressure because of the situation, maybe they're trying to distance themselves from.
It was definitely
the
retro
money that's been funding them.
A special retro one. I think maybe it's 50th anniversary of their cup win or something.
Is it really?
I think
okay,
so,
yeah.
Something like that. It's
good
PR. Paddy Power have done it again because everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't being very complimentary about it, they were still talking about it and spinning it around. And we've done exactly the same thing here as well.
Have. Yeah.
We just have.
So it
totally
works.
But the whole thing about gambling being part of football, I mean, we've seen it at Whiteleaf now because we now have a bookmaker now sponsoring the league.
Mm.
It's everywhere, isn't it? Yeah.
It is everywhere. It's interesting, though, because I've always thought it a little strange that that football clubs would take the money from gambling organisations purely because for the youth kits, you can't print them. So my son's got every Sunderland shirt from the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years. And several of them, there are no logos on them because you can't, because it's a junior kid. all right, the big exposure they're getting is on Match Day and on the TV, on the back pages of newspapers and things like that. But there are not many adults walk around wearing football shirts. Most of the people that wear them are kids.
Yeah.
And well, unless it's Match Day, of course. So they're losing a lot of exposure by taking the money from the betting companies. I mean, it obviously works out for them. It's just in my head, I just can't get it right.
Yeah. But it is everywhere, though.
It is everywhere. Yeah. But it, I mean, but what's significant about it is that there's very little room for any other mainstream sponsors to come involved, particularly in terms of shirt sponsorship. So many Premier League clubs now, and indeed Championship clubs now, have got a betting company sponsoring them. And you're wondering how much of this is just the natural partnership that football has with betting right now, or how much of it is just that, like, a lot of the mainstream sponsors are, like, not willing to meet the expectations of big clubs with their sponsorship, or not willing to associate their brand with a Premier League club.
Yeah.
You know, he might think, well, historically, if we sponsor a football club, we tend to lose sales in areas where, you know, if you're a national company, you don't want to pin your colours to one particular region or club, because you might lose sales in other areas.
Yeah. Ford were famous for doing that. They sponsored Sky's football coverage for years because they didn't want to sponsor a football club.
No.
The only clubs you saw with Ford on them were local dealerships for non-league
sides.
Which
is totally different.
Yeah. same with McDonald's as well. McDonald's sponsored FA initiatives with all manner of problems that entails
as
well.
Of course, yeah.
But these companies have decided, no, we're not going to pin our colours to one mast. I knew people who wouldn't buy Samsung because they sponsored Chelsea.
Mm. And, or similarly, JVC.
Yeah, your JVC, back in the day.
I imagine the Nintendo and Sega rivalry was further intensified when Arsenal was sponsored by Sega.
And O2 and Vodafone. Man United and Arsenal had that.
Yeah.
I knew people who would not go to Vodafone because they were Man United.
But what it has done is it's further entrenched the relationship between professional football and gambling.
Yeah, because they don't care.
Because they obviously don't care.
Yeah.
But also the worry is that if for whatever reason they're pushed out, or there's regulation, or a regulator comes in, or government steps in and says, look, you guys are getting way too comfortable and cozy with these gamblers, you need to back off, you need to stop, you know, or we're going to start putting bans, or doing what they did with cigarette advertising.
Yeah. And look what happened when sports nearly went to the wall when they took that.
Well, I mean, fortunately, they relaxed the gambling laws and allowed bookmakers to advertise more, which is why we're in the situation. It's only a matter of time, in my opinion, before we see something similar. It can't be that much longer. There'll be some unpleasant and high-profile cases of personal suffering and tragedy that will then start off a political movement which will result in a ban or a partial ban on gambling advertising, and the Premier League will then have to go and find its money from somewhere else.
Mm.
And they're running out of vices to get sponsored by, which is a pretty horrible thing to have to say. I don't want to bring a downer on things, but, you know.
But it does bring us back to where we started with new media coming out.
Mm.
We're assuming as a subscription service that they're not going to carry advertising, or they're going to carry minimal advertising, but it's still going to have a lot of advertising. The people who will only be able to afford the advertising will be gambling companies, because they think that the people that are going for in-depth knowledge like this are people who need in-depth knowledge because they want to splash a load of cash on bets.
Yeah, I mean, it's just error. I was listening to a podcast today, actually, for the first time, but they've done a sponsorship deal with it. But I do find it depressing that almost any podcast, football podcast you listen to now, seems to have some kind of link to a gambling firm, and I can't think of anything good comes of it. You know, I don't think it's a good way forward personally, but
anybody can feel uncomfortable with clubs having to rely on a vice, basically. Now, you know, even when you see when the fun stops, the biggest word on that poster is fun.
Good point.
Yeah.
They're self-regulating at the moment, but that won't last.
And that can't last. It can't last.
No.
And it's only a matter of time. And I guess it's up to clubs and the Premier League and professional football in general to prepare themselves for that when it comes.
Well, of course, new season starts, and of course, football is on the telly, proper football, and our box set will detail 7 matches over the weekend, if there are 7 matches. I'm sure there are. You'll find out what we pick if you subscribe. So get along to sofpodcast.com and click the link to Weekend Box Set. But that's all we have time for this week. We'll be back next week with more topical stuff on football.
We're nothing but not topical.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've been particularly topical today, haven't we?
Yeah, we've actually talked about football.
Talk about football. Well, no, we haven't talked about football. We've talked about business around football, like transfers.
Yeah, we talked about football. We talked about players and stuff like that.
Yeah, players. That's not football, is
it? Yeah.
We didn't actually talk about games.
Well, no, because there have hardly been any games.
Well, there will be from next week.
We didn't talk about the Community Shield.
Of course we didn't. No one's good. Who on earth would talk about... Look, if you've been listening to a podcast that's actually discussed what happened in the Community Shield, unsubscribe from that. You don't need to listen to that.
You don't need that in your life, do you?
No!
No.
Tell them, Jan.
You don't need that in your life.
Yeah, see? Right, Jan said. Anyway.
Jan Felix. Jan. Take it from Jan Felix.
Yes, the fourth most expensive player in the world. But that's all we have time for this week. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Burton, and from Terry the Film, it's goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Shall we take a picture?
Yes.
I think we should.
Take a picture.
I'll stick that on the gram. Are you taking a photograph of me taking a photograph?
Yes.
We're all gramming each other.
It's like a Black Mirror episode.
Dink, dink. Yep. Yeah.